Thank you for joining me for this month's episode of the Bengal Financial Literacy Podcast. I am your host, Chris Chatwin, coming to you from the KISU studio here at Idaho State University. We return now to live or new updated episodes after taking the summer off and are happy to have you back with us. Today, what we want to do is we want to talk about student loan forgiveness that has been recently announced by the Biden administration. However, before doing so, a couple things that I need to do. I want to thank a couple of sponsors that we have here as part of the Bengal Financial Literacy Certificate and program offered through the College of Business. First and foremost, I want to thank Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo has made a generous donation to the financial literacy program. And as a result, we will be launching our first ever and what we hope to be annual Financial Literacy Week here at the university. Right now, that is scheduled to take place in April, with a lot more information to come as we have it. But things that we're looking forward to during that financial literacy week that we're going to have would be things like a live panel discussion with different members of the community and part of the financial community. Talk about things like banking, loans, and other items of interest. We'll also have a keynote speaker who will speak with us, and we'll even be handing out some scholarships for the Bengal Financial Literacy Program. Along with that scholarship, another very wonderful supporter that I need to mention is Citizens Community Bank. Citizens Community Bank has also donated to the Financial Literacy Program and is offering a scholarship through the Financial Literacy Program. So any student who is participating in the Financial Literacy Program, so working toward the certificate in financial literacy, is eligible for that scholarship. Now, if you're not familiar with the Financial Literacy Certificate, we talked about that in one of our first episodes with Dean Hunt from the College of Business. But what the certificate is, three classes that we offer through the College of Business. It is open to all majors. With that certificate, you're going to receive a course in personal finance, so financial literacy for your own personal finances. There's also a corporate financial course in which you'll learn more about how corporations raise money, how they are organized, different decisions that they would face. So you get the personal side of things and then the corporate side of things. And then in the third course, you have some options. There's an entrepreneurial course for anyone who might be interested in opening their own business or maybe currently operating their own business. As well as that, there is the real estate finance course. So anyone that might be interested in investment in real estate. And there's also a financial applications course. In the financial applications course, what we do is we take the concepts that are learned in personal finance and corporate finance and use them in an applied setting. So now how do I actually take those concepts and use them in my life on a personal note or even in my business? So that is the Financial Literacy Certificate, and we are so pleased to not just be able to offer that here at the university, but be able to offer scholarships through Citizens Community Bank, and also now to be offering the Financial Literacy Week sponsored by Wells Fargo to take place in April. So please stay tuned for more information as that comes available. As mentioned, I'm your host, Chris Chatwin from the College of Business, Professor of Finance. Specifically, my work is in personal finance and corporate finance, leading the charge on the financial literacy certificate, along with the help of many wonderful professors at the university. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to fly solo today, so no guest. What I want to talk about is the recently announced loan forgiveness, student loan forgiveness that has been announced in the month of August by the Biden administration. Now, what we hope to accomplish in this episode is maybe straying from the pros and cons and any of the political arguments that might go into it, but instead focusing on what exactly is the student loan forgiveness? How will it affect me? What's the process for going through that loan forgiveness? What does it look like? And what are the things that I need to know? So in doing this, I've compiled some questions from individuals who have student loans who are wondering, you know, what do I do? What do I need to know? And that's what we hope to get through in this. Now, with that said, we're recording in September. There could be changes that come to this announced plan. Specifically, recently, there were 22 Republican governors who voiced a dissent or opinion that they would like this program to be axed. They don't specifically want to see this loan forgiveness happen for a variety of reasons. Again, staying out of the political spectrum of it. But included in that is, in our area, the governor of Idaho, Brad Little, as well as governor of Utah, governor of Wyoming, governor of Montana. Specifically, everyone in this area has voiced their opinion against it. What does that mean? I suppose it means there could be some type of a challenge as to whether or not this is an allowable course to be taken by the president and his administration. So I bring this up just to mainly note that we don't know everything yet. Not everything is certain. There's still more information to come. So this is what we know as of the middle of September 2022. All right, so where do we begin? Well, first and foremost, what is the student loan forgiveness? Well, what has been announced is a forgiveness of up to $20,000 of student loan debt. Now, there's some caveats to that that we need to discuss of exactly how much might I qualify and what is meant by up to. So let's focus on that for just a moment. First and foremost, this loan forgiveness is meant to be specifically targeted toward lower income individuals. Now, what do we mean by lower income? Well, what's been announced is that an eligible individual needs to have an income less than $125,000. So that's an eligible individual. So if you are filing an individual tax return, so not a married filing joint return, you have to have an income less than $125,000 to be considered for the debt forgiveness. Now, what income are they going to look at? As of right now, what's been announced is that they will look at the 2020 or 2021 income. Now, specifically, what they announced with this plan is an attempt to help those who have been affected through the pandemic. And so for that reason, they're looking right now at 2020 or 2021 income. Now, what if you are married and file a joint return with a spouse? If you file a married filing joint tax return, then the income amount doubles. So an income amount of less than $250,000 for the year 2020 or 2021 would make you eligible for the debt forgiveness. So those are two things to look at. So individual, meaning I file an individual tax return that's single. And what I haven't seen specifically yet is how do they handle a head of household tax return? So that would be someone not married who has a dependent in the house. So a child, for example. For right now, I would assume we're still looking at the $125,000, although I suppose they may announce an amount in between the $125,000 and $250,000. If you're married and file a joint return, so this means that you are legally married and you and your spouse decide to file your taxes together, combining all of your income, it's an income amount of $250,000 or less. So let's focus on the next part of that. Up to $20,000 of forgiveness. So there's two tiers to this. One is up to $10,000 of forgiveness. The other is up to $20,000. Where the distinction is met here is whether or not you received Pell Grants while you were in school. If you received a Pell Grant at any point, then you are eligible for up to $20,000 for forgiveness. If you did not receive a Pell Grant while you were in school, then your forgiveness is up to $10,000. So that is the distinction between $10,000 and $20,000. Now, I've said up to several times. What do we mean by up to? Well, specifically what that means is you're not going to be refunded above and beyond what you owe in student loans. So if, for example, I owe $7,000 right now, There's a $7,000 balance on my student loans, and I qualify based on my income to receive the $10,000 of forgiveness. Then I will be forgiven of the $7,000 I owe, and that is all. I will not receive a check for the $3,000 difference. So that's what we mean when we say up to. You will not receive a refund above what you owe. Okay, so that's the who qualifies. Again, information might come about that might change this, alter it. Are we going to look at 2022 income, for example? You know, what happens if we don't apply for it immediately? And now it's 2022 when we're applying. Will they look at that? What if I've had a job change or a circumstance change, etc.? So that is who qualifies. Now, what's the process for determining that eligibility? Well, what's been announced is that there will be an application. Now, no precise date has been given at the time of this recording. All that we have been told so far is that early October, the application will become available. That means that you'll go online, you will verify things like your income, your tax status, so did you file individual or married filing joint? And here's the thing, for the most part, the government, the Department of the Treasury, they already have this information. So you're just going to be verifying it. So early October, that's what we're watching for. Now, I'm going to throw this website out there and I'll give it again at the end. Okay. Most all of this information can be obtained at studentaid.gov. So if you're curious as to what we discuss on the show or any changes that might be made, you want to go to studentaid.gov. The other website that you should be familiar with is ed.gov/subscriptions. And I'll give that to you again. That's ed, so ed.gov, /subscriptions. Going to this website will allow you to sign up to receive alerts regarding the student loan forgiveness plan. So this could be any changes that take place. This could also be an alert that lets you know when the application portal is set up online, allowing you to fill out your application and request your forgiveness. So I'll share those websites with you again at the end of the show, as well as important dates to keep in mind. So back to the student loan forgiveness. What loans qualify? Because this is an important question. Specifically, what's being targeted is federally subsidized and unsubsidized student loans. So these are student loans currently being paid through the Department of Education, okay, government loans. So if you have a private loan, this could be through an organization like SoFi or Discover. If you have a private loan, unfortunately, you will not qualify for this program. Even if your loans originally began as a government loan that was then bought out by a private institution, you will not qualify. These are only targeting government loans. Now, that does include both subsidized and unsubsidized. And if you're unfamiliar with the difference there, subsidized loans are ones that did not accumulate interest while you were in school. Unsubsidized, you took out the loan while you were going to school and it grew because the interest accumulated while you were in school. That's the difference between those two. So both types are eligible, as well as parent plus loans and graduate loans, again, so long as they are through the U.S. government. All right, so how about, I've got a question here in regards to the public servant loan forgiveness. So anyone that's working for a nonprofit, public employees working for the federal or state governments, they actually have a loan forgiveness program already in place. Specifically, how will this affect them? Well, that 10-year forgiveness program obviously is still going to forgive more than this current $10,000 or $20,000 forgiveness. But as of now, it will not affect your ability to apply for the $10,000 or $20,000 forgiveness. So you can be a part of both programs, having a portion of it forgiven now, and so long as you make the minimum payments over the next 10 years, on your public loans. If you're, again, a public employee or working for a nonprofit, you will qualify for that loan forgiveness. And we'll need to come back to that, circle back to that again. A lot of changes have taken place with that public servant loan forgiveness program. Specifically, anybody that is a part of that right now or wants to be a part of that right now, you want to act before October 31st because of some changes that were temporarily made to that program. And we'll circle back there. I was also asked regarding the current suspension of student loan payments. As of right now, there's been no requirement to repay student loans. And that took place in 2020, first by the Trump administration, and has been extended now 7 times in total by both the Trump and the Biden administration. Currently, right now, anyone with federal student loans has not been required to make a payment on those loans. That does not mean that you cannot be making those payments. Many people have been paying them, but there's been no requirement. Along with that, the loan amount has been frozen, meaning that the interest rate was set at zero. So during this time, they've technically been in what we call a deferment status. And in that deferment status, they've not been accumulating any interest. Now that is set to expire. Now you might be asking yourself, well, wait a minute, they've extended it 7 times. So are they going to extend it again? When this plan was announced in August, it was also announced that this would be the last time for the extension. So the purpose here is they want to get everybody ready to be making those payments once again. This extension of the no payments and zero interest is set to expire December 31st of 2022, which means beginning January 1st of 2023, you will again be required to make student loan payments. So for the last 2 years, if you have not been making a payment, you do need to get ready for making payments once more. Now, another question that was asked to me, and this is an important one, because I teach many undergraduate students. And I've been asked this question of, well, I'm a freshman. I just took out student loans. Am I going to qualify? Who is going to qualify? Here's the other caveat on the student loan forgiveness. The only loans that are eligible for forgiveness are student loans that were disbursed prior to July 1st of 2022. What that means is if you're a freshman and you just took out student loans to begin your fall semester, those loans will not be eligible for the loan forgiveness. So you need to be prepared for what comes after college life or once you stop going to the university and what that will mean for your debt payments. So student loans disbursed prior to July 1st of 2022 are the only student loans eligible. All right, so now let's recap with due dates. Important things to keep in mind. First thing to keep in mind, you're watching for that application to be made available early October. As of right now, again, middle of September, all we know is early October. By the time this episode airs or by the time you're listening to it, there may be a specific date available. Keep in mind, it's estimated that 43 million people will be eligible for the student loan forgiveness. Therefore, the system is going to be seeing a lot of traffic. So, as you're looking for these alerts, again, you can sign up for the alert at ed.gov/subscriptions or obtain more information at studentaid.gov. You get the alert when it's made available. It is recommended that you put in your application no later than November 15th. That does not mean you have to put it in before November 15th. The reason for that recommendation is because they currently estimate it will take about 6 weeks to process your application. So if you do not want to make payments beginning in January, so let's say, for example, you currently owe $8,000 on your student loans, and you're going to be eligible for the $10,000 forgiveness, which means you're eligible to have all that debt wiped away. Well, if the application goes through, but doesn't go through until after January 1st when payments begin, you're going to have to make a payment because they will come due. That's why it's recommended to get your application in early, recommended prior to November 15th. Again, possibly 43 million applications for them to go through. They estimate 6 weeks to process. Get it in early. Other dates to remember, December 31st of this year, that ends the extension on not making payments, as well as the 0% interest. So beginning January 1st of 2023, you will need to again begin making payments on your student loans, and interest will begin to accumulate at whatever the stated interest is. And if you're unsure what your interest rate is, you need to reach out to your lender. And as of right now, again, this could change, but it is tentatively set that December 31st of 2023, so in just over a year, is when they will close the loan forgiveness applications. So you have over a year to take advantage of it. So if maybe you don't get on it right away and you begin making your payments, maybe you're well above that $10,000 or the $20,000, and so you don't apply right away, you will, as of right now, have at least until December 31st of 2023. Now, I recommend, from a financial standpoint, if you are going to apply for the forgiveness, get in there early, because even if you owe, say, $40,000, if you get $10,000 of it forgiven, that will decrease your balance to $30,000, which will save you interest over the long haul of your loans. So keep those dates in mind, things that you need to look forward to. All right, a couple other items to talk about. We've talked about all the loan forgiveness, but is anything else changing? And this is important to recognize as well, because it's not just about forgiving loans. What they're really trying to do is fix a system that has seen skyrocketing education costs and not much of a change to the federal support that is offered. For example, Pell Grants. For the last 40 years, a maximum Pell Grant has hovered right around $6,000 per year. Not much change to that. In the meantime, education costs, so college cost, has increased exponentially. So what kind of relief is in place, or what kind of changes are they seeking to make? Well, one is they have promised to look at Pell Grants. Again, no promise has been made here, nothing has been set yet, but they are looking at increasing the amount of eligible Pell Grants that can be given. Other items to think about. What they're doing is looking at cutting the amount or minimum amount that must be paid on what's called an income-based repayment plan. So some loan borrowers have what's called an income-based repayment plan. So obviously prior to the pandemic and the shutting down of student loans, individuals could submit income documents and be put on a payment plan based on how much money they're making that might be much lower than just a standard fixed repayment plan, so your standard loan. So one of the changes they're looking at making here is if it's an undergraduate loan, they're going to cut in half the amount that borrowers have to pay each month. So it used to be that the minimum was 10% of your discretionary income. So looking at income-based, let's just say the amount of your loan would say that you have to pay $300 a month, but based on your income, 10% would be $200. An income-based repayment plan would say you only have to pay $200. Now they're going to cut that to being only 5%. So in that same scenario, that individual now might only have to pay $100 per month. So that's one change that they're looking at. The other is they're raising the amount of income that's considered non-discretionary. So basically, when they look at your income amount and how much you can be repaying, they are now going to increase the amount that is subject to repayment. So if you earn under 225% of the federal poverty level, you will not have to make a payment based on the income repayment plan. Now, if you're not sure what the poverty level is, the federal poverty level, you can Google that. Very easy to do. It varies based on family size. So just to give some perspective, a family of four, okay, currently 2022, the poverty level, federal poverty level for a family of four is set at $27,750. So 225% of that is just over $62,000, which means under this change, so when we go back to making payments, if you're a family of four and your income is less than $62,000, under the changes to take place, you would not be required to make a minimum payment on your loans. Now, what about forgiveness of loan balances? This is a key point we need to talk about. We need to talk about taxes. Now, what some people are not aware of is that anytime a debt is forgiven, now that doesn't matter if it's a loan, whether it's student loan or a car loan that might maybe gets wiped out as forgiven, could be a credit card. Credit card company realizes they're not going to be able to collect and they forgive the debt. Anytime a debt is forgiven, it is considered income in the year it is forgiven. So for example, if I have $20,000 in student loans that are forgiven, under normal circumstances, I would have to consider that income. Now, what the Biden administration did and the Democrats did in one of the last acts passed for coronavirus is they put in there, because they knew they wanted to move toward loan forgiveness for debt, for student loan, they put in there that if a federal debt is forgiven between now and 2025, it will not be subject to taxes. So in this circumstance, if you have $10,000 forgiven, it will not be taxed on a federal level. Now, depending on where you live, you do need to check with your state, because not all states will follow this. Currently, there's at least seven states that have either announced that they will tax the student loan forgiveness, or they don't have a policy in place yet that says they will not. Now, Idaho does not follow that. As of right now, Idaho is following the federal guideline, which means Idaho will not tax your federal loan forgiveness. Now, that is does not mean necessarily that it might not change. For example, during coronavirus, when the federal government stepped in and said they would not tax the first $10,000 of unemployment, Idaho did tax that. So again, you're going to need to consult with your tax professional and review those things. All right, here's the thing. Whole lot of things to think about with this. Hopefully what we've given you is the talking points, the dates to remember. Again, look for early October for the loan application. If you want to sign up for the alert, you can do that. Go to ed.gov/subscriptions. Go to studentaid.gov for more information. If you received a Pell Grant, you're eligible for up to $20,000 if your income was under $125,000 as an individual, or $250,000 as a married filing joint, or only $10,000 if no Pell Grant. You want to get that application in early because they'll be processing so many, and you want to watch it. And keep in mind that any balance remaining after January 1st, you will need to begin making payments. And that's the information we have now. Obviously, questions might come up, things might change, which is why I direct you to the studentaid.gov website and wish you all the best. Again, we want to thank our sponsors, especially Wells Fargo and Citizens Community Bank. We look forward to having more broadcasts now as we return live, and we'll see you next month.
The theme music for this show was created by Joseph Emanuel, a commercial music student at ISU under the direction of John Armstrong. Please join us the third Monday of every month at 7:30 p.m. for future episodes on KISU FM or KISU.org.